This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 122E, page 474. And we've been looking at a figure, which I cannot transpose into the text I'm using, which has three major triangles. And the signs in this triangle are among the seven signs of crisis. And there are three great arcs of crisis. A large arc going all the way from, it's the cycle of evolution from individualization to Chohanship. The cycle of aspiration from that of the intellectual man, I suppose, in the fifth petal, to the accepted disciple, which is beyond the first initiation. And then the cycle of initiation from accepted discipleship to a high initiatory phase, basically in a way ending where cycle one ended. Seven signs of crisis and 9 points in the triangle, and these crises repeat themselves in some form or another, certainly in the great evolutionary cycle, but also in the cycle of aspiration and in the cycle of initiation, cycles two and cycles three, respectively, and maybe in smaller subsets within cycles two and three. These seven types of crisis, either as some sort of correspondence, repeat themselves. So it's important to realize what type of crisis we may be passing through and try to define it for ourselves and the stage of evolution that it indicates, and perhaps relate the signs of the zodiac, which are powerful in our chart, if they are any of the signs of crisis, to the crises that we perceive ourselves passing through. We have here three triangles. That's the figure we've just been looking at, but at the same time, only seven influences for the effects of the conditioning forces of the two triangles, predominantly active in the first two cycles, are fused and blended in the third. Well, what we see here, we find Capricorn. It's in the first cycle, and it's in the third. We find Virgo is in the second cycle, and it's in the third as well. Leo, however, is not mentioned until the third cycle, and we do remember Leo represents liberation and the burning ground, the final burning ground, I think, in this case. Well, there's nothing final, nothing final. But when we're talking about the cycle of human development, which takes us as a human being into from the fourth kingdom of nature into the fifth, and we still remain human, we do for those cycles four and five, or rather, kingdoms four and five, we don't remain human when we enter kingdom six, where we become a planetary life, and that's no longer human per se, though strangely, we may still be members of the fourth creative hierarchy of human monads, because we still are that. And the Christ is still a human monad, and the Buddha is still a human monad, although that monad may have been somehow repositioned. When a monad moves out of a creative hierarchy into the lower rung of a superior creative hierarchy, then there's not only a change of kingdom, but a change of hierarchy. And what would a very advanced human monad move into? A very advanced human monad could be a planetary life of the sixth degree. To my way of thinking, planetary lives begin at the sixth degree and are no longer men as are the masters, as it tells us in Rule 7 of the Rays and the Initiations. Into what hierarchy could we move? The hierarchy of solar angels? The hierarchy of triadal lives? Those are the only two creative hierarchies that we're given that are candidates for such a movement of monads. But it seems to take quite a bit of training to become a solar angel. And one would have to go off to Sirius to do that, and would be then a member, a solar petri, within the Council of the Sun, which is higher than any of the masters that we can understand, because our masters are inclining toward Shambhala and are not members of the Council within the Sun. And it looks to me like the hierarchy of triadal lives is still higher. So is it the way of higher evolution after the sixth degree that really allows one to transfer creative hierarchies as a monad? That may be possible. Okay, well, these are blended influences with the aid of the remaining five constellations. Now, don't forget that, with the aid of. And why listed in this order? Why in this order? I don't know. Obviously, there's a reason for the listing. It was not listed in this order before. It was listed more in sign order, except that Pisces and Aquarius were reversed, just as they are now. But we began with Taurus, and followed by Libra, then Sagittarius, as I recall. And we do know how very related Sagittarius and Taurus are. Taurus rushes blindly until Sagittarius directs. The Sagittarius aims for the bull's eye, which is Taurus. Aldebaran. No, not Aldebaran. Yes, Aldebaran. Aldebaran. One way of looking at the bull's eye. But why this order? Well, you know, more questions are provoked than there are answers forthcoming. So one just has to live with that and let the intuition supply the missing pieces as time goes on. These blended influences, with the aid of the five remaining constellations, enable the disciple to escape out of the human kingdom into the kingdom of souls at the fourth degree. And the kingdom of souls, to my way of thinking, includes the fifth degree. But the human kingdom per se, no, the human hierarchy includes the fifth degree. The kingdom of souls and the human kingdom are distinct, but the creative hierarchy, the human creative hierarchy, hierarchy number four, includes both of those kingdoms. But when we get to Chohanship, something changes. And although one may still be a member of the fourth creative hierarchy, one is no longer a human being, per se. Even in the kingdom of souls, you can still be, they are no longer men as are the masters. The masters are men, which means that they have an intimate relationship to the fourth kingdom. Are they in some strange way members of the fourth kingdom, or are they simply members of the fourth creative hierarchy? And for how long do those who have passed beyond the stage of master, for how long do they remain members of the fourth creative hierarchy? Somehow still I think of the Buddha and the Christ as members of the fourth creative hierarchy, though definitely planetary lives. And one wonders whether they are verging on becoming solar lives. I don't know. The higher beings in Shambhala are in a sense solar lives, but the Buddhas of activity have been planetary logoi before, so they are within the group, in a way, of the solar logos, and so is Sanat Kumara. So maybe solar lives are very high above the planetary lives. And maybe simply because one has entered Shambhala as a man and even gone to the council chamber and may be focused upon the seventh or logoic plane, maybe that still does not entitle them to be considered as solar lives. Okay, so we have Sagittarius, Libra, Taurus, Pisces, and Aquarius. To the Tibetan, all of these must configure in terms of revelatory relationships, and we're still trying to piece things together. We have, therefore, seven constellations, and he lists them in the order that he did. This order is repeated. This order does not reveal sequential unfoldment. Only the beginning and the end does, and the first three. The order here is different again, I see. Somehow, Capricorn was third, Gemini was fourth, Scorpio was fifth. DK is hiding something in order, in orders that he presents. Cancer, individualization, Aries, reorientation, or orientation. Gemini, renunciation, coming before Scorpio, which is the battlefield. Usually the battlefield comes before Capricorn, which is initiation, followed by Gemini, renunciation. If I were going to put these in order, what would I do? In order, from my perspective, I would do it this way. Cancer. Cancer, Virgo, Scorpio. Well, no, there's another way to do it. It depends on how we look at the reorientation. I would do perhaps Cancer, Aries, because one need not be an initiate with the first reversing of the wheel, then initiation of the first kind comes in Virgo, then followed by the battlefield, followed by Capricorn, which is the first real initiation, which is the third degree, followed by Gemini, which is the fourth degree, followed by Leo, which is the fifth degree. That's the way I'd do it. But not for a minute do I think that DK did not have a reason for listing these things as he has. Because Gemini doesn't have to be the renunciation. It can be simply awareness of the pairs of opposites. But in that case, it would precede Aries, which gives us a reorientation or a reversal. So, you know, there's the obvious in the presentations, and then there are deeper implications. So there are seven constellations here, and here they are, not in the order first listed, are they? Because Capricorn and expansion was third, and Gemini was fourth, and renunciation, and Scorpio was fifth, Virgo, again, was sixth, and Leo seventh. So the first two and the last two are in the same order. And then I gave you an order that I think is progressive in terms of human evolution, progressive and sequential. This order seems progressive and sequential in terms of human evolution. Eight constellations, which include three out of the seven, which bring the disciple from the stage of selfhood to that of the self-initiated, perfected soul. Now, I've just got to make sure that he's not listing this in some way that I don't see in my text. Well, he doesn't seem to mention them. Eight constellations, which include three out of the seven, which bring the disciple from the stage of selfhood to that of the self-perfected soul. Somehow, Pisces will have to be included, but we will also have to include something here from Sagittarius, Libra, Taurus, Pisces, or Aquarius. He doesn't seem to mention these unless I'm just missing something, because three out of the seven, okay, now we can gather that. We know that the individual application will involve, and this time I'll put them in order, Taurus, Libra, Sagittarius, Aquarius, Pisces. And which of the other three? Will they be somehow, will the three out of the seven include, let's say, Leo? Selfhood. We've got to have Leo, don't you think? Virgo and Capricorn? Oh, how about that? Go back to the figure. Well, Leo, Virgo, and Capricorn, those are the ones which suggested themselves to me as representing self-consciousness, Christ consciousness, and, you know, the birth of Christ consciousness, and finally, victorious Christ consciousness. So then, these eight, in order, would be Taurus, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. Are there eight there? What am I missing? Taurus, Libra, Sagittarius, Aquarius, Pisces. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm missing something, Sagittarius. So, there will be aspiration leading to the lower type of integration in Leo, aspiration in Taurus, leading to the lower type of integration in Leo, to that shattering of the unity in Virgo, to the realization of the pairs of opposites, and adjudicating between them, there will be soul and personality. Assuming the adjudication will go properly, there will be reorientation of the one-pointed disciple towards initiation. And as an initiate, he will become the world server and eventually the world savior. There will be these eight. These must be the ones, I think. And we have movement from the stage of selfhood to that of the self-initiated and perfected soul. When we talk about perfection, depends on what kind of perfection we mean. Capricorn, well, let's just say it's a type of perfection, but Pisces is the final perfection with Venus exalted. And so the work of the solar angels is entirely consummated. The perfected, the self is very much Leo, and we could begin with Leo, but we have to include Taurus, because it's one of the five, and only three of the seven are included. So you can understand how DK is seeing evolutionary sequences, developmental sequences in which the different stages of development are contributed to by special forces which are focused in the human being through his chart, and then some of which evoke a maximum of effort from him, which allows for a breakthrough and an entry into a greater measure of the light and possibly even victory. So we have seven constellations which bring the man to the state, from the stage of individualization to the path of discipleship. Now, this is a little bit different. Well, I'm sorry I didn't see this earlier. That's the hint. The hint is that we are not dealing with the large evolutionary process which ended with liberation. It is a different sequence. And that is why DK lists them differently. Well, the path of discipleship. It seems that all of these seven, see, in other words, differently. Mm-hmm. All of these seven, they can be used to apply to the large path, or they can be used to apply to a portion of that path from individualization up to discipleship. And discipleship is really, well, here we go. I mean, discipleship is technically the first initiation. So, all of these are evolutionary in their nature, and we cannot necessarily interpret them as spiritual or referring to the path of initiation. They do refer to the path of evolution and maybe part of the path of probation. So, three paths of evolution, maybe not three, evolution and probation and true discipleship. Somewhere ambition should be in there. And how can we interpret these seven? I'm really sorry I overlooked that. I just realized it as I went along. Well, individualization, definitely. But orientation is not about orientation towards a higher power. It's all about initiating one's own progress within the realm of desire and oriented towards ever new objectives, but still within the path of evolution. Gemini will begin to give awareness of a pair of opposites. Scorpio can be a battle between these pairs of opposites. Scorpio, if you begin with Pisces, Scorpio represents the fifth petal of the egoic lotus, and he tells what a terrific conflict that fifth petal may be. Capricorn can be the will to achieve that first initiation. Virgo, the necessary purifications involved, the cleansing, the appearance of Vulcan, perhaps, and of Neptune for aspiration towards it, and Leo, the consummation of the first initiation, which is the path of discipleship. The path of discipleship really begins with the first initiation. The completion of the opening of the fifth petal gives us the first initiation. The complete opening of the second, of the sixth petal, excuse me, gives us the second initiation. And the seventh, eighth, and ninth petal will not completely open until the third initiation. Excuse me. So, you know, as I was saying, I was a little bit troubled. I said, why is he changing this? And I just overlooked that it leads to the path of discipleship. So, and the path of discipleship ends with the first initiation. Well, no, it doesn't. It really begins with the first initiation, real discipleship. Everything else before that is probationary. In fact, even until you're accepted disciple somewhere in the middle between the first and second degree, you can even consider yourself a probationary disciple. But there is no particular sign associated with accepted discipleship more than any other, as far as I can understand, and Leo is the first initiation. And certainly, if you're a first-degree initiate, you are a disciple, even though you have many tests to pass through. Then, eight signs, I feel better about that now, then eight signs which bring the disciple to the stage, from the stage of selfhood to that of the self-initiated perfected soul. Then how can we do, now this makes more sense. As if I'm reading this for the first time. So for the disciple who has achieved the first initiation and thus the beginning of the path of discipleship, we have these eight. And the order, with the order as follows, or at least an order, to that of self-initiated and perfected soul. Well, maybe the eight in zodiacal order would be these. But if we begin with the disciple who has still selfhood and has stopped at the first degree with Leo representing, then we should begin, we should begin with Leo. So let's see how it will go. It probably will pretty well keep the order of the signs, but we will go from Leo at the first degree to Taurus at, this may not be so easy. Well, we begin with Taurus, that's for sure. I mean, begin with Leo. Clustering around, and then we can further Virgo, deglamorizing. Let's call it that. I'll offer one possible sequence. Virgo deglamorizing and cultivating the mind. Taurus and Libra indicating the balancing of desire of the astral body and its and the reorientation of desire to will at the second degree, then in order, Sagittarius leading to the third degree, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So let's see how we would look at this. Leo, Virgo, Libra, Taurus, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. This is perhaps a sequential order in terms of the process, because the Virgo deglamorizing, cultivating the mind, and emphasizing the pairs of opposites and their fusion, increasing fusion. We do need Taurus. It is strong at the second degree because it's a degree all about desire. Emphasizing. Scorpio is not here, but we can certainly find a place for it. But we have eight signs. Nice to remember them, wouldn't it be? Eight signs, which include three of the others. I'm trying to think of the place where, of the crises. You know, Leo is a crisis of the final burning ground. And as listed in the triangles, Capricorn represents some final achievement with respect to the entire cycle. Cycle one is large. Cycle two involves moving into accepted discipleship, and I suppose Virgo is there between the first and second degree. Leo is very final. Virgo is nicely placed there in a way, because it is a good sign for accepted discipleship and for the work from the probationary path to accepted discipleship. Leo is final. Only Capricorn we can question. Why Capricorn and not Pisces? But Pisces is not one of the seven signs that leads to complete liberation. So maybe we're getting closer here. So in zodiacal order, here they are. But if we begin with the disciple who still has Pisces and has stopped at the first degree with Leo representing, has stopped at the first degree which Leo represented. That's what we need to say. Represented. We should begin with Leo. So then we have our final sequence, at least a proposal. You know how DK does give us sequences, but then he will tell you, now these are not in order. He does that with respect to the 14 rules. He says, now you don't know which initiations they represent, and they are not necessarily in order. Matter of fact, he says they are not in order. So it's up to us, based upon our understanding of the sequential process, to find an order. And that's what I've tried to do here with these, a proposed order. For the signs which take one from the first initiation to the higher initiations. Beginning with the first initiation. Leo, you know, whenever it says no, how do we do this? No, express, reveal, destroy, resurrect. I believe that the no begins with Leo. It really begins at the third degree. Leo has a place at the third degree in terms of the enlightenment or illumination that can there be achieved. When it comes to listen, touch, see, apply, know, again, I believe we end with Leo in terms of the knowing that is possible for the aspirant. And even if the first, even if the individual rules cannot be considered to be confined before the first degree, maybe we can follow listen, touch, see, apply, know. Maybe we can follow that to the third degree for the individual disciples. One of my friends once said, well, the first, the five stages for the aspirant in relation to those rule number 14 for aspirants really takes you to the third degree for the individual. And then when we come to know, express, reveal, destroy, resurrect, well, it can take us from the first degree of the group to the fifth degree, which could involve the resurrection, but more probably, in a way, it can take us from the third degree for the group, fifth degree, revelation is called, destroy, sixth degree, destroy what? Destroy the Temple of Ezekiel, and resurrect the meaning of the seventh degree, the name. So reveal fits very well with revelation for the fifth degree. It's the name of it. And resurrect fits with the name of the seventh degree, resurrection. And to be a true knower fits well with the third degree. So in a way, the five words which are representing different initiations can be begun, not just at the first degree. There is a reflection where they begin at the first degree, of course, because there's something about the group knowing and the group expressing and so forth. But it's really only the master that can truly reveal the monad. So there's a good case for beginning these five words, which are Rule 14 for disciples and initiates, beginning that at the third degree. Anyway, sequences of signs appear like sequences of words, and we have to see whether they are given to us properly or conventionally or misleadingly or in some heuristic way to help us learn more by trying to figure out their proper arrangement. So the zodiacal order of the eight, which take a man from the stage of selfhood to that of the self-initiated perfected soul, and take the disciple, that's the point. If it was just the man, we could begin with Leo as the self-centered individual, and we could then make perhaps another sequence. But we're beginning with the disciple who still is affected by the Ahamkaric principle. Is still affected by the AHMK. Oh, if only hum. I know I have it. Principle. Ahamkaric principle. So when we're a disciple first degree, we still are very much a self. We still have selfhood. We have to purify that selfhood. We have to deglamorize ourselves. We have to emphasize the higher of the pairs of opposites more and more. We have to break up that primitive sense of unity. We have to balance the pairs of opposites. Now, you know, Libra could occur anywhere. It could even occur before Leo. There's many places it could occur. There's usually a two-ness about it, and one has to decide in favor of going ahead. But we are beginning with the disciple as a self. So Libra could occur around the time of the second degree. It is, after all, ruled by Venus. Taurus is ruled by Venus. Venus is powerful at the second degree, and the equilibrizing the equilibrizing of the astral vehicle and substitution of love for desire. That's another meaning of Libra. See, the confusing part is that these signs can be placed in different places. Substitution of love for desire, as Libra gives us eventually for the disciple, divine love and understanding. And we are trying to move from desire to love at the second degree. And of course, Taurus, with its brilliant light, reorientation of desire to will, that's Taurus, actually, Virgo, you know what I should put with Virgo? Possibly deglamorizing, but also general purification. Now, in a way, that has to precede the first degree, but it also has to follow it. And with Taurus, the great light dissipating glamour, and the reorientation of desire to will. So both Libra and Taurus seem to me to be implicated in the second degree in the sequence. And then Sagittarius, of course, it says initiates of the first and second degree, but I particularly think of Sagittarius with its expansive and expanding mind as galloping towards the base of the mountain, which is climbed for initiation. So Sagittarius on the second degree, since the second degree is taken on the sixth ray, which Sagittarius for which Sagittarius is the major conduit. I think of Sagittarius leading to Capricorn, though it can also be involved in initiates of the first degree and all of their physical disciplines and that kind of thing. Capricorn and Aquarius can both give the third degree. Aquarius and Pisces can both give the fourth degree. Pisces can give the fifth degree, but why not Aquarius? And since Capricorn is involved with five initiations, why should it not also be connected with the fourth and fifth degree? Anyway, here is a tentative arrangement of these eight signs. Now, of course, they overlap, and we might even say between the initiations, the influence of these signs can reoccur. Because, you know, there's certainly, as we're going along from the selfhood, the still ahamkaric state of the disciple, I can find places for Virgo between 1 and 2, between 2 and 3. We can find places for Libra between 2 and 3, preparing for mental polarization and the lower reflection of Christ's temptations in the desert. I think we all have to work through that. We can find places for Taurus. Well, I think especially at the second degree, but remember the illumination of the third degree, we can find it there. Sagittarius can move towards the first degree, move towards the second degree, move towards the third, but we are already beginning with discipleship in the first degree. Capricorn is found at all the initiations, the third particularly. Aquarius, the cleansing of the waters, you know, can be found at the second degree as well as higher degrees, third and fourth and even fifth. And the entry into group consciousness at the first degree. All of these different constellations can be found taking the, how does it say, the selfhood, bringing the disciple from the stage of selfhood, not the average man, to that of the self-initiated and perfected soul. So these eight constellations can occur at different points along the way. But what I've tried to do is to give a sequence which is reasonable and where the general placement of the constellation, constellational energy, in that progress from selfhood to self-perfected soul, or the general placement is reasonable. I guess the farther one goes here with Master DK, the more is implied, the more is suggested. It is not my intention to analyze these crises. These the student who is in earnest and who is observant can work out for himself. Well, when it turns out to be crisis, we are dealing with the original seven in order: Cancer, Aries, Capricorn, Gemini, Scorpio, Virgo, Leo, in order. But we have seen a different arrangement of the seven. Just to review, I've studied this book for a long time, and only now, I think, only now do I find I'm seeing some of the deeper implications of what was presented, and that's just the beginning. And then following the signs of crisis, we have signs, not all of which are signs of crisis, which are meant to take the disciple from the stage of selfhood, the Leonian disciple, aware of his own discipleship at the very beginning, all the way to the self-perfected soul, self-initiated and self-perfected. Who's responsible for initiation? We are. At least, who is responsible for beginning the initiatory process? We are. And then There is response from those, really with a capital, who can confirm what we have established. All right, we're getting there. I'm just amazed at what is contained in these pages. And I've been studying this material, theosophical material, since 1966. Is that right? I think so. Certainly astrology earlier, but well, 1966, I think that's about right. Almost 50 years, and I've been aware of astrology as worth pursuing from 1963, so 50 years now. We apply ourselves to this discipline, and we realize that only by the most careful study and correlation does the light really begin to show itself, to break forth. So many things are placed in the mind, but they have no connection with something else. And when the connection is made, the light breaks forth. And then we begin to see a more integrated field of thought, a far more distant in a way and yet more closely related horizon, as Master DK says at some point. So we can work out these crises for ourselves, and DK has really said so much about them, at least the seven crises, hasn't he? Why should Cancer, you know, the seven crises have been discussed elsewhere. Maybe not the astrological connection with them. Cancer, you know, gives us the embodiment of the soul in form. Aries, with its powerful Uranus and its strong initiative, pushes against the elemental trend of the clockwise wheel. Capricorn, we know, and gives, of course, orientation or reorientation. You're facing the sun. When you really have changed the direction of the wheel or attempting to change it, you're facing the sun, which is the soul, which is the higher power, however you may define it at the time. So individualization and then orientation or reorientation, in my view. Then expansion for Capricorn, we climb various mountains and our vision expands and our powers expand. Renunciation for Gemini. We have the pairs of opposites. And I see, I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self I grow and glow, but I release the lower of the pairs of opposites. I renounce the third aspect in favor of the second aspect. I renounce intelligence in the limited sense for love and intuitive intelligence. When I reach the stage of Scorpio, which is really a little earlier, we have the battlefield, the crisis of the battlefield. And of course, Scorpio is the warlike sign, in which the final battle of the pairs of opposites, at least vice, is put to death. And we rise into the light of day on the intuitive plane, which Scorpio rules, as does Mercury, the hierarchical ruler of Scorpio. So Scorpio fits with the crisis of the battlefield, of course. And we have the crisis of the birthplace. Well, you're always being born in one way or another. The travail of the first birth leading up towards individualization. You kind of wonder about that first solar system influence and how the energies of the first solar system, previous solar system, were leading to the emergence in Leo of the individualized person. So there's a big birth process in the animal kingdom that goes on before you're individualized, before you're born. But this Virgo has more to do with what leads up to every initiation, and maybe to specific phases. You're born into the kingdom of souls, crisis of the birthplace before the first degree, in an incipient way. And then you're born into the solar series of initiations at the third degree. And could Virgo have to do with all the readjustments and refinements of technique and purifications that are necessary before that? There is mental polarization required, and Mercury is exalted in Virgo. Can we find Virgo at the entrance into the fifth kingdom, into the Sirian system of initiations? I don't know. There are always purifications that are required. It's almost like Virgo is leading to Leo every time. In a way it does. I mean, Leo is the sun and Virgo is the mother. The mother gives birth to the sun, first degree. The mother gives birth to the sun, third degree, entering the solar series of initiations. Does the mother give birth to the sun as you enter the Sirian system of initiations? In other words, does the mother, Virgo Pleiades, yes, give birth to the sun, Leo Sirius, at the beginning of the Sirian phases of initiation? So, we are in earnest. Are we sufficiently observant? Who knows? And are we working something out here? Maybe. It certainly can be food for thought. We have to begin to think correlationally. It's not just what a thing is. In a way, that's the fifth ray. What exactly is this thing? But we have to relate it using Mercury so that we begin to see the meaning, the place of the thing that's under observation, and the possible different relations that the thing has. Here's the thing. You draw a line to this, but you can draw a line to that, and to that, and to that. And in every context, the thing will hold a different position, structurally, temporally, and those are the relations which we hope to understand. And if these relations are sufficiently clear, it will... And they become clearer through the exercise of pure reason, then, or through the use of Mercury, then, of course, the pure reason will be ours, and we will have that infallible intuitive comprehension which Mercury confers, and which is even higher with Uranus and Neptune, all of them having some relation to the Buddhic plane as well as Jupiter. Mercury, all the connections, Jupiter seeing the wholeness in which these connections exist, Neptune dissolving the boundaries which keep things from being related to each other, and harmonizing the field as the higher octave of Venus, and Uranus turning everything to the point. All the many, many things which are related, correlated, and seen in wholeness, Uranus collapses them to the point. Everything is here, now, and it. So Uranus is a marvelous planet. You know, it's in a sense, the ultimate condenser. It makes everything the same. And yet, of course, in a blinding flash can reveal the whole field in which the other planets are working. But there is a collapsing down to the point. You kind of wonder whether one becomes the relinquished point at mastership, or is it beyond? The highest part of Leo is the relinquished point. Uranus is the ruler. What would the circle be if it was pointless? Then what if it got rid of its boundary? We'd be into the absolute, wouldn't we? The absolute self, if we want to call it that. So Uranus collapses things to the point, makes that point smaller and smaller until it becomes as nothing, which finally it has to be. As I say, reality is pointless. Ponder on that. Kind of a joke, but kind of revealing how things are as well. Well, here's a series of five programs. Where are we with it? A further elaboration is coming, but I hesitate to go beyond five at this point because the conversion process might not work. And if I don't convert, then it's much too big to send. And those who, in any case, have Macs wouldn't be able to use it. So the end of Esoteric Astrology, Adventure number 122E, page, as always, page something, page 475, and the beginning of Esoteric Astrology, Adventure number 123A. And what I'd like to, I haven't used the Great Invocation for a while here, so I'd like to close this with the Great Invocation. Which seems a fitting way to close this series, which has been, at least for me, so interesting, challenging one to think along the way. And I realize if someone listens to what I say and stops someplace and doesn't go a little further, they're not likely to get the corrective of what has been said, because sometimes things do need to be corrected. Like as I was saying, why is it in this sequence? And I realized that I had failed to read the word disciple and somehow thought of the larger cycle number one, when in fact it's a totally different cycle we're dealing with. We've been shown a cycle from beginning to end, a cycle from the intellectual man to the accepted disciple, from the accepted disciple to the high initiate, and we've been shown a cycle of the disciple. Let's see, how does it go? From the stage of individualization to the path of discipleship, and then from the selfhood of the disciple to the end. Perfected soul. In a way, this particular cycle here, which is the fourth of the five that I've been mentioning, is a lot like, this stands by itself, but this cycle, which is the fifth, well, I guess it's its own unique thing, but it's a lot like the third, is it the third cycle up here? Yes, cycle of initiation from the accepted disciple. So cycle number five, first we have three cycles listed and then two cycles. And cycle number five is a lot like cycle number three. Well, anyway, not to keep on ramifying, that's always the danger. Great invocation. And we'll use the note G, huh? Om. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Oh. 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 Okay, friends, this will be the end of these five, and we go on to further elaboration on the science of triangles. See you then.